Let us pray.
God of love, as we prepare to remember the events of this poignant night, open our eyes to see the beauty of Jesus' self-giving love, and by your Spirit, work in our community a desire and commitment to follow your example by serving each other and our hurting world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our first lesson is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
The second lesson comes from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it.
Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them."
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
It is a good thing to pause here for a moment, to recognize what we're doing and why we're doing it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first three Gospels, contain a story of Passover celebrated, called by us the Last Supper. And those Gospels speak of bread broken as body of Christ, of wine poured as blood of Christ. The Gospel of John is different. It speaks of a meal, but not a Passover. It focuses rather on a cleansing, a ceremony of hospitality, that when someone would come to your home and they come from a long and dusty road and they were tired and in need of refreshment, their bones ached, and they just wished the coolness, that you would bathe their feet. No, rather, your servant, your lowly one, would bathe their feet. And so, according to John, on the night of his betrayal and arrest, Jesus himself knelt down and washed the disciples' feet, and he served them. Tonight we are invited to look very deeply into ourselves. We pause and we turn on that bright light of Christ, and we realize that the light only darkens the shadows, and that there are corners to us that cannot be seen even by us. We hear a knock at the door. It is Christ inviting us to open that he might come in, and we fear to open because we know that there is the stench of death on our side of the door. But none of this matters to him. He invites us to come and be at home, to come and be washed, to come and be refreshed, to give up our brokenness and to be cleansed. And then he invites us to recognize that what is right and best for us is to die with him to our sinful selves, to leave behind whatever it is that we brought in the door, whatever the past has been, in which we have practiced not love and justice and mercy, but something else altogether. He invites us to let all that die, that we might be raised with Christ to new life. Friends, if you are perfect and you are without sin, if you are without any need to repent of your sins, you are welcome to leave now. You do not need to partake of this meal. Go in peace. Be at joy. But if you are a sinner, as I am a sinner, as these are sinners, as all of them are sinners, if you are a sinner, you are invited to come, to be cleansed if you wish, and to partake of the Lord's Supper. For He has come to serve you, that you might serve. He has come to give you death and life, that you might die to Christ and live to Him.
After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom He was speaking. One of His disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to Him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom He was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked Him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when He had dipped the piece of bread, He gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After He received the piece of bread, Satan entered into Him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why He said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out. And it was night.
And there is always a Judas, always someone who will sell his soul for a little money, always someone willing to betray. And so the end begins.
Jesus had been anointed by the woman with the alabaster jar, the woman who walked in hosannas. The Passover preparations had been made. The 12 came with Jesus when it was evening, and sitting at the table eating, Jesus told them that one of them would betray Him.
Had we been there, we would have said what they said. "Surely not I." Those eyes looking at each of them. "It is one of you, one who is dipping bread in the bowl with me."
"Surely not I."
"Surely not I." As was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief, and he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial." While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" Then they seized him and led him away. bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance.
From the book of Isaiah, a prophecy of what was to come. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see the light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.